Chapter 4. Towards an Endling. You should be at the entrance to the next gallery room. Slowly walk into the room. There is a fire hose reel on your right. Stop at the end of this short wall. There is a peacock again to your left. Just in front of you is a tall glass cabinet full of birds collected over the last 200 years. Walk towards this cabinet and stand at a close distance to it. Slowly breathe on the window. Are you ruffling any feathers? Do you remember the outline you traced from the bird box upstairs? Can you retrace this bird into the vitrine that is in front of you now? Slowly, begin walking around the vitrine in a clockwise direction with your right shoulder closest to the cabinet. This could be a tree or a stalagmite. Keep circling the vitrine 3 times. Round 1. Focus on a bird that is at a low height in the vitrine. Round 2. Raise your eyes to a bird on the middle level. Round 3. Look at the topmost level. When you have finished your 3 rounds, stop and let your gaze calmly wander down the birds. Search for the bird number 20 and read its label. In the late 1900s, the Australian Museum was the workplace of 2 taxidermists, Jane Tost and Ada Rohu, mother and daughter. They won many international medals for their work. Jane Tost received £10 a month, the same salary as a man. Later, the two founded what was called the queerest shop in Australia, where they sold taxidermy, fancy work, curiosities, and ran a museum upstairs. This bird could have been prepared by them, their lives' lines intersecting. At that time, most people didn't believe they could put a dent in an animal's population. The trade in taxidermy birds for collections and whole birds and feathers for the decoration of hats rounded up gigantic numbers of birds. It drove some bird species to near extinction. But conservation sentiment and compassion for the birds rose. Bird watching became popular. Societies for the protection of birds and other animals formed. Many women and women's rights activists were at the center of these societies. Let's listen to Margaret McKee of the Feminist Whistlers Movement calling a nightingale as we dwell with the birds for a last moment. Feel free to whistle along. Please walk one last circle around the birds and look for the primates in the tall glass cabinet close to you. Walk a circle of 8 encircling both cabinets as you do. Move your gaze between these two cabinets. What brings these beings together? What movement patterns did they do on the last day of their existence? Stop walking the figure of eight and circle around the primate cabinet. Touch your lower back with your fingers. If you were to continue downwards, you would be touching your tailbone. Your coccyx is the remnants of a tail. Stop walking and stand in between the two cabinets, looking at the elephant skeleton and its tail. Its pelvis has bolts that keep it together. Continue walking along the right side of the elephant. Look up towards the skeleton of the sperm whale and walk along its length, beginning at the mouth. You are walking through the bones of one of the largest mammals on Earth, passing through the jaws and teeth of this carnivore. You glide down its gullet and through to the rib cage. Keep walking and you are passing along its spine through the tip of its tail. Look back from where you came. Take a spot on a bench and lie down with your head pointing towards the whale's head and your feet towards its tail. If there are no benches available and you are able to, please lie on the ground. If this is not available to you, please sit on the stairs. In 1871, it seems she had a tussle with a whaling boat, and after weeks dead at sea, ended up on the beach of Wollongong. The oil of the whale was taken first. Afterwards, it was cut up into pieces, skinned, and fleshed to the bone. Too heavy to be brought intact, the whale was carted in four loads and reassembled outside the museum building. For over 100 years, this sperm whale has been hung on display. It floats above you by the grace of iron braces and hinges drilled into the ceiling of the museum. Her skin used to be wrinkly, leathery, and able to sense touch all over her body. She had whiskers to detect objects, the way that humans use their fingers. Its body is made of 97% water, bound in her cells, in the tissues, the bones, the blood. Close your eyes. Remember your body as a spirit level from the beginning of this walk. But now, feel your liquids are floating upwards, and your body is pulling downwards. The air around you turns into water. Your body is one big oxygen tank. Your heartbeat drops to 10
beats per minute. You see through sound.
You are sending out pulses of sound to navigate your surroundings. If a sperm whale is vulnerable, ill, hurt, other whales form a pattern around to protect her. Right now, you are the one in the middle of this constellation. Can you sense the other beings around you? It was 1853 and back on land when some Australians experimented with sound in their own way. The country had just been hit by the fervor of the polka dance, popular in Europe and North America. Such was the fascination of the sperm whale, Catadonis australis, that a polka song was written for it. George Strong, a young Sydneysider, had looked at the sperm whale skeleton at this very museum many times in awe. He composed a polka in the Catadon's honor, the polka's sound waves spreading out over Sydney. It's time for you to leave the water now. You send out a pulse to orient yourself in this new surrounding. You've located some other animals in this room. Go find the next ones along. Slowly stand up and readjust yourself to this new horizon. Walk towards the tiger in the glass cabinet. Move along the wall left of the tiger and towards the far left corner of the room. Unlike you, the animals you are passing have been locked in movement. Please walk until you reach the corner of the room and stay there. A taxidermy recipe of the past.
Arsenic soap, use 2 pounds. White bar soap, 2 pounds. White arsenic powder, 6 ounces. Subcarbonate of potash, 5 ounces. Camphor, 8 ounces, 90% alcohol. Cut soap into small slices and melt. Add potash and stir in the arsenic. Then add the camphor, which has been dissolved in the spirit. Boil the substance down to a thick, syrupy consistency and allow it to cool.
Please walk until you reach the corner of the room and stay there. You should be standing in the corner facing out. You can see the back of the giraffe looking above the other animals. What does he see? There is a lion above you to the left, about to pounce. Remember the shaking you did in the atrium? Do you think the vibrations you sent out has reached all the organisms, past, present, and future? What is the message you would send out? Please send it out now. Stand with your legs shoulder-width apart and begin shaking. I think it's working. You can stop shaking now. There is a darker tunnel to the left of you. On top of it, the lions. You need to crawl through there. Keep crawling. Stop in this position and freeze. This nocturnal space is made of LED lights, plaster, nails, wood, paint, Japanese paper, tape, and steel brackets. The lions remain mounted above you. If you were to track their movement history, you would see their migratory pattern. From sub-Saharan Africa to Rochester, New York, where they were mounted into a praying position by the famous Ward's taxidermists. To Sydney, into a diorama, into the atrium, behind another glass, and now up here. A fourth one in a sitting position didn't quite make it to this display. You may come out of your position and de-articulate now. Please come up to a standing position.
Hey!
Shh! Look! Be quiet. That's a dog, no. It's a Tasmanian tiger. The last one died in 1936. September 7th. It was a cold night at the Hobart Zoo, and she couldn't get back into her enclosure. They called her Benjamin. She died of cold. But come, look at this one. There's even a skeleton of it, too. You can come close to the glass. You are a composite. Your stomach patched with kangaroo and dingo fur. Eyes made of glass. Trying to reassemble history with thread. Your fur has faded. Your stripes less vibrant. Your belly propped with metal to help you stand again. Some humans say you were never given a proper burial, and this is why you keep reappearing. Your ghosts wander through the forests, your shape, but not your sound. This museum has three more thylacine skins in storage, and they're much brighter. Come closer to the glass. Close one eye and place your index finger on the window. Start with your finger on the tip of its ear. Go down its neck and see how the shape changes and sinks as we come to the shoulder blades. Continue along its back and go down along its tail. It's a similar shape to a kangaroo. This one looks a bit dried out. Go back up the bottom side of the tail, down the hind legs and along the bottom pouch. This pouch looks patched up, but once upon a time, this marsupial could have held three or four babies in there. Go along its stomach, through the steel brackets of support. Keep going down the front legs. Slowly contour up along the front of its chest towards its throat, and now the bottom jaw. keep tracing the outline of this animal through the glass. Perhaps a small imprint can be felt in your body. Looking at old film footage, it's hard to tell if the film has been slightly sped up. Its breathing seems rapid and shallow. But then again, there are no films of the thylacine in the wild. Only in captivity. There are ways to remember and bring this animal closer to you. Bring your shoulder blades together and feel them narrowing. Your eyes pull back in the corners. Your nose has elongated and your jaw protrudes forwards. Your sense of smell is not what leads you through the hunt. It's your ears and sight that do. Some humans say you preyed upon sheep and poultry, which gave reason to hunt you down. How wide can your thylacine mouth open? A full 130 degrees. Open your mouth wide for a moment. You couldn't run very fast. You were rather stiff. Lack of space produces a common movement trait among animals in captivity. They pace. Keeping your eyes on the other animals in this vitrine, begin walking its length back and forth. There are 24 specimens in this vitrine. Four of them are extinct. The rest are critically endangered or vulnerable. Keep walking the length of this vitrine, back and forth. Increase your rhythm. You are pacing. Bring your focus back to the thylacine and stop in front of it. Bring yourself eye to eye. Dwell here and keep eye contact. Slowly and carefully, start to walk backwards towards the sperm whale, keeping your eyes on the thylacine for as long as possible. Benjamin was the last of its species. Once this individual dies, the species becomes extinct. They've even made up a word for that. Endling. Keep walking backwards and stop once you have reached the rhinoceros. Turn towards the atrium and walk down the ramp. You are returning to the atrium. You have almost come full circle. How is the red glittery ribbon at the ventilator doing? Feel the air's movement on your face. How is your breathing? Walk towards the elevator at the end of the room in a straight line. Please go to the fourth floor. Stop the walk and resume it once you have stepped out of the elevator on the fourth floor. This marks the end of chapter 4.